preach tonight, and to everyone who is here tonight to listen to that to this message. I want to explain real quick about before we get into reading this that in this passage, God personifies Babylon as a she. Now, it's not a good she. It's not someone that you would want to hang around. And I want to just clarify that real quick because going through this, I will also be recalling to it as a she as well. Isaiah at this time is a prophet to Judah who prophesied about the Babylonian captivity, the fall of Babylon, and even a future restoration of Israel. Where we are today in Isaiah 47, it's the eighth prophecy that Isaiah has spoken, and it is the one about the fall of Babylon, which is the entirety, which is the empire of the world. And to say it simply, it's the fall of the unsaved world. As we begin our reading in Isaiah chapter 47, verse 1, it says, "Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground, there is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones and grind meal. Uncover thy locks. Make bare the leg. Uncover the thigh. Pass over the rivers. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered. Yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not meet thee as a man. As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. Sit thou silent, and get thee into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called the Lady of Kingdoms. I was wroth with my people. I have polluted mine inheritance, and given them into thine hand. Thou didst show them no mercy. Upon the ancient hast thou very heavily laid thy yoke. And thou saidst, I shall be a lady forever, so that thou didst not lay these things to thy heart, neither didst remember the latter end of it. Therefore, hear now this, thou that art given to pleasures, that dwellest carelessly, that sayest in thine heart, I am, and none else beside me. I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. But these two things shall come to thee in a moment, in one day, the loss of children and widowhood. They shall come upon thee in their perfection for the multitude of thy sorceries, and for the great abundance of thine enchantments. For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. Thou hast said, none seeth me. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee. And thou hast said in thine heart, I am, and none else beside me. Therefore shall evil come upon thee. Thou shalt not know from whence it riseth, and mischief shall fall upon thee. Thou shalt not be able to put it off, and desolation shall come upon thee suddenly, which that thou shalt not know. Stand now with thine enchantments, and with the multitude of thy sorceries, wherein thou hast labored from thy youth. If so be thou shalt be able to profit, if so be thou mayest prevail. Thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee. Behold, they shall be as stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There shall not be a coal to warm at, nor fire to sit before it. Thus shall they be unto thee with whom thou hast labored, even thy merchants from thy youth. They shall wander every one to his quarter. None shall save thee." Today I'm going to be preaching on Isaiah 47. We're going to look at it in three different segments. Verses 1 through 7, which is talking about the judgment that is coming. Verses 8 through 11, which is talking about the punishment. And then verses 12 through 15, where it's talking about how nothing of this world can save them. We see in verse 1 that it shows us that Babylon is being called to sit in the dust, on the ground. They are being called off their throne and into a humble state, having to sit in the dust, and that they will no longer be called tender and delicate. The reason she will no longer be called tender or delicate is because of her true shame. And what she truly is will be coming into the light with all the sin and shame that is in Babylon. We see in verse 2 that it's telling her to take the millstones and grind meal, which a millstone is a type of tool that is used to grind down wheat or other grain. It looks like, the best way I can describe it, is a big round stone table with a hole in the middle and then a really big, like, dough roller sat on top of that, fixed to a point in the middle that spins around that stone slab, crushing and grinding down the grain so that they can cook food and make food. So this is telling her that She's going to have to do all this herself. She's going to have to make her own food. It also tells her to uncover her locks and to make bare the leg and to uncover her thigh and pass over the rivers. This shows that she is about to be made like a simple maid, coming down from her high place where she once stood to have to become a maid. We see this by it telling us that she must grind the meal, which shows she must make the food. Instead of having a servant do it for her, instead of having someone else do it for her like she used to do, she's going to have to do it now. She's being brought down from her high stature, or what the world would call their style of living, going from able to do and buy most anything they want to nothing at all, from riches to rags. This goes to show us that the world one day will be brought down from that pedestal that they feel they are so high on, and that they will be made the lowest of low because of the open sin and sinful life that they choose to live while being on this earth. Now, going into the next verse, we see that the next part of the beginning of the judgment that is coming. It says that her nakedness will be uncovered and her shame will be seen, that he will take vengeance and he won't meet her as a man. This phrase, thy nakedness shall be uncovered, is not meant to be taken literally. It's not that her clothes are coming off or that the clothes are coming off. It's meant to be taken with the next part about the shame. Because back in Bible times, if your nakedness was revealed to someone that wasn't your spouse, wasn't your wife, wasn't your husband, it was a very shameful thing and brought shame upon you and your family. And it still is a very shameful thing in the world nowadays. We're coming up to summer where a lot of people's first reaction is, let's take most of our clothes off and go swimming, when we should choose to be modest. But here it is showing that the shame of the world will finally be uncovered. It will finally be uncovered, and it will come out into the light. All the sin and all their perverted living and not doing things the godly way. But because of this, because of what they've done, God will have his vengeance and come to judge Babylon. Many scholars believe the phrase, I will not meet thee as a man, means that he will not spare any that is found in this shame. So the Lord is going to bring them into their true shame, and they will finally know what they are, and they will finally be judged, and no man shall be safe from it if they are living in an unregenerative state. In verse 4, it talks about our Redeemer and how he is the Holy One of Israel. And this is just the Lord throwing in there that he is God and the only one who can redeem fallen man. And we know this because of Ephesians 1, 5, and 7, where it says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. And we know he has given us Jesus Christ to die as the perfect sacrifice, so that by grace through faith, one may see heaven and get to spend eternity with our Redeemer and live for him. But he wanted to remind them of who he was and who he is before he continued stating their judgment. In verse 5, it says that Babylon will sit in silence. She will go into darkness. She will sit as if she is no one. And she will fall from the elevated eyes of man to the lowest of lows and into the darkness. She will no longer rule over the many kingdoms. She will be made as nothing, almost as a slave, because of all the wretched things that she has done and all the sins that she has done. This goes almost hand in hand with the next verse, seeing how God used Babylon to enslave and capture his people, but now is judging Babylon for how they treated his people in their slavery and captivity. Verse 6, God is saying he was wroth with his people, or he was angry and displeased with his people, and that he had put them into her hand as punishment for what his people had done against him. But God said that she showed them no mercy at all, and was even as cruel to the elders as she was to the young. Have you ever seen now in America how people treat the elderly like they're nothing. They're so fast to abuse the elderly. There's people in America who are abusing the elderly when we should care and respect the elderly.
Amen.
We shouldn't be abusing them, but caring and respecting them. But Babylon chose to treat the elderly the same way they were treating the young. The same punishment the young got for doing something wrong, the elderly got. And for this, God says they were merciless towards his people. And he knew this. This is one of the reasons that God is punishing them as harshly as he is. That and because of the transgressions that they have done against his law and against him. But we see that even though they treated them poorly, they don't think anything's going to happen to them. And in verse 7 it says, "And thou saidst, I shall be a lady forever, so that thou didst not lay these things to thy heart, neither didst remember the latter end of it." In spite of her having this inhumane amount of cruelty towards his people, she still says that it would last forever, that they will have them as their slaves forever. They never thought that something would come and take them away, would deliver them out of their hands. They thought that they would be fine and that they would have this life of luxury forever and never have to worry about it. But we know this isn't true. So in the first 7 verses, we see that God has shown everything that she has done to bring shame upon them, even more than what they already had. God is showing all the things that he saw wrong and what is going to happen. How Babylon will no longer be held in high status. They will have gone from stank to stunk. And how she will no longer have all the delights that ruined nation comes with, but that she will be just as the maid and just as the slave for what she has done. This parallel shows true still today, but with the lost in the world being Babylon, one day God will come back and he will judge us, judge all of us, the wicked and the saved. We know that he will judge us because of what he said in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." So one day we will all be judged, the wicked, the lost, and the saved, for every deed that we have done. He will make them the lowest of the low, as if they were a maid or a slave, all because of who they thought themselves to be. And because of what they had done to God's people, God will bring the punishment upon them.
Right.
Now going into verses 8 through 11, this is about the punishment, the main punishment that's going to be coming about because of it. In verse 8, God is telling Babylon, or as we know, the world, to listen to him and to listen to what he is about to say. He is saying that Babylon thinks they can't be touched, that they will never know what losing a child will be like, that they will never know what becoming a widow will be like. But they will. They will lose all the cities. They will lose their own king. In the same way, the world thinks that they can't, that nothing can touch them, and that they will never lose what they have gotten. But they will. We see this in verse 9, where God is telling them that they will lose these things. Babylon will lose all the cities it has conquered. It will lose itself as well.
Right.
And therein, become a widow and feel the loss of children. In the same respect, the world will one day lose everything. And everything that they have tried to gain on this earth will be for naught.
Right.
All that fame, fortune, the social hierarchy, it's all meaningless.
Right.
It's not going to be worth anything. They will lose it all. This is all just a shadow of what is to come. Like what's to come in the tribulation to Babylon during that time. This was a prophecy before this ever happened to Babylon. And even to the world nowadays. But because they did it all the wrong way, in the sinful way, just like Babylon did, everything that they get will be for nothing. They will lose all the cities they've conquered and itself. They will lose everything. We see in verse 10 that they believe none can move them and none can take everything away from them. Their knowledge and wisdom had made them warped in their thinking. Because of how smart they thought they were, It made them blind to all that was going to happen to them. We see that in Job 11:20, where it says, "But the eyes of the wicked shall fail, and they shall not escape, and their hope shall be as the giving up of the ghost." So they will be blinded to all this punishment that is coming because of how smart they think they are. You know, something that reminds me of that here in the world now is a thing called being woke. We all know what that means, what woke means. The people who are so-called woke are so blinded by the social injustice that they can't even begin to see how wrong and sinful and how just bad, how bad things are really getting. An example of how being woke can lead to something being bad is, take the former mayor of Chicago. She pushed for defunding the police. And now, she's not even in the office anymore, but towards the end of her time in office, she started seeing how bad things were actually getting. It's like, no, we actually need the police. We need to put more money into the police. We need more police. And so because of a foolish thing she chose to push or take heed in, because she wanted to be socially accepted, she has consequences now that she's facing or that she faced. And now she's not even in office anymore.
Amen.
They make these choices just because they want to be socially accepted. They go and let things happen that are disgusting and harmful, and they just are blinded to it because of this self-inflicted blindness. They won't see the punishment that's coming their way. We also see in verse 10, they say, "I am none. I am and none else beside me." This is them trying to say that they are a god. They are setting themselves up to be like a god. They feel like they are untouchable. They are trying to make themselves as God. And because of their choosing to be like this and choosing to live this way, evil and sin will come unto them. And they won't even know where it came from. We see that in the next verse, where it says, "Therefore shall evil come upon thee. Thou shalt not know from whence it riseth, and mischief shall fall upon thee. Thou shalt not be able to put it off, and desolation shall come upon thee suddenly, which thou shalt not know." This shows us that Babylon was about to have a lot of evil and trouble come upon it. And they wouldn't even know where it came from because of how blind they were. They may not even know that it was happening. The same thing will happen to the sinful world. They will not know when or where this evil will come upon them because of how blinded by their wisdom they are. Some ways this could end up happening is by government doing things that are wrong. Pushing a bill that they want passed, and everyone, because they want to be accepted and want to accept it, they let the bill pass. When in reality, they just helped pass a bill that could negatively affect them, their children, and their children's children for years to come, all because they wanted to be acceptable. They wanted to be accepted. And that's just how, being blinded by their wisdom and their want to be accepted, they are. So in verses 8 through 11, we see that because of how prideful and arrogant they have become, and because of how blinded they are by their wisdom, that God is going to use exactly what they said they were invulnerable to destroy them and bring them down from the pedestal they have lifted themselves so highly on. And finally, let's look at these last four verses, where we will learn that nothing of this world will save them. God tells them, because they are so sure that this way of life will save them, to stick with it and find out. Yeah. He tells them to stand by their enchantments and with the multitude of their sorceries, what they have been practicing since their youth. And I could see God saying in a mocking tone, kind of like he led Elijah with the prophets of Baal up on Mount Carmel in 1 Kings 18:27. I could see God saying, "Yeah, you'll be able to prevail. Don't worry. What you have been doing all your life, all these things you've been doing, it'll work, maybe. But we know that it won't protect them. It will fail them." The next verse, we see another way that they'll try to escape their punishment. It says that they should try to let their astrologers, stargazers — and stargazers are pretty much the people who use horoscopes, the people who use that to tell the future and all that stuff — and the monthly prognosticators, which is pretty much just a fortune teller, to try and save them from these punishments that the Lord is going to bring upon them. They were looking to people who are just going to tell them what they wanted to hear? Who's just going to tickle their ears?
Right.
Just tell them what they want to hear to save them. And these people that they will look unto to save them won't be able to. And we see that in verse 14 where it shows us that they won't even be able to stop it. It says in verse 14 that they will be like stubble and the fire will burn them. And that they cannot even deliver themselves from the power of the flame, from this punishment that's coming their way. So how can Babylon, how can the world expect these people to protect them and save them if they can't even save themselves? I see this a lot in the world nowadays, how people and how the world view celebrities and scientists and all these other people in positions of power. Like Dr. Fauci in the COVID-19 incident. He thought he knew what was best. Even though there were other leading scientists that would oppose his view, he pretty much steamrolled over them and said, no, I know what's best, let's push that. So he pushed his view over everything.
Right.
And the world expects them to protect them because they're in positions of power. Because they're telling them what they want to hear. And when the Lord brings this judgment upon the world, they won't even be able to protect themselves. So like with Babylon, how can these people expect others to protect them when protect them from a punishment from an all-powerful God when they won't even protect themselves? Another example of what this would look like is if a mobster had committed a horrible crime for murder, but he is used to being able to pay the jury or the judge off.
Yeah.
And he's used to just getting away with it. But the judge, the time they come in court this time, it's just him and the judge. No jury. He's gone out of it too many times, and the judge he's going up against does not take pay. He does not take anything else other than the truth. And he goes into it saying, oh, well, my lawyers, my people, I've done this many times. I'll get out of it again. They won't keep me here. I won't go to jail. But the judge knows that he's done it. There's evidence in the case that he's done this crime, that he's done this thing that is wrong.
Right.
So in the same sense that Babylon was looking to the astrologers and stargazers, expecting them to save her, they couldn't.
Right.
Because the judge was more powerful than they could ever be, with the judge being God. They did all this for nothing because compared to God and compared to the punishment that he is bringing, they are nothing.
Right.
And finally, in verse 15, we see that everyone they had labored with since their youth shall go their own way, and that none will even try to save Babylon. They had spent most of their entire life setting themselves up to be judged and setting themselves up to fail. And so, when a little push comes to shove, they're just going to run away. When a hard time comes, when something's coming, they're not going to save them. The world is selfish. They think of themselves first. And so instead of trying to save someone else, they're always going to try to save themselves. So we see that they were trusting in the wrong things and that nothing of this world can save them. But there is someone who could save them. And that someone is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who was sent down here to live the perfect, sinless life, to one day be marched onto Calvary to pay the price for our sins.
Right.
He took all of our sins onto him. My sins, my dirty sins from my past, every sin that might be done from anyone, he took on your sins. And he was hung on that cross to die. And he was buried and 3 days rose again so that he could bring us that perfect salvation, that way to be saved from this punishment, from the punishment. He presented us that way to heaven. He bridged the gap. It's a very simple and it's a very wonderful gift that God has given us. But to accept this gift, you must first understand a few things. You must first understand that you are a sinner who deserves to pay for your sins in hell. And that you are in need of a Savior. That nothing you have ever done or will ever do is good enough to get you into heaven. The next thing you must understand is that you must understand and believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, that He is God, and that His sacrifice on that cross, His death, burial, and resurrection was a sufficient payment for our sins. And once you've understood those things, it comes down to a choice. Whether over here you choose to ask God to forgive you and come live inside you and to change you, make you a new creature in Him, or to continue living in your sinful way, in your sinful life. But to the saved here tonight, I admonish you to check yourselves and your heart. Check to make sure that you aren't living like Babylon was. That you don't think that you're great and that you have arrived and nothing bad could ever happen to you and nothing could ever take things away from you. You need to check yourself to make sure that you aren't like them, because the Lord can and will still punish us, even as His children. We see that in Revelation 3:19 where it says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." And if you aren't like Babylon, then praise the Lord. Keep growing in your faith. Amen. Keep growing closer to God. Keep doing the good work. But at the end of everyone's life, there is one of two destinations that you will go to. For the saved, you'll get to go to heaven. Or for the lost, the unsaved, you will have to go to hell. I know which one I'll be going to. Do you? Let's pray. Lord,